200 times in the New Testament alone. I just find that intriguing. The world. What does it mean? What is God talking about when he uses this phrase, the world? So we looked at some things kind of foundational last time I spoke, and I said the next time we'll look at this again and try to get a little more practical. And might ask for some help with the brothers as we go on, because I'll be honest, I got more questions than I have answers. So maybe you can help me out here this evening. So we're going to do some very, very, very quick review. What happened there? Wasn't expecting that slide. I don't know. Who put this together? Okay, we had looked at what is this phrase, the world, what does it mean? Well, it needs to mean one of three things. How many of you were here last time we did this? Okay. It has to mean one of three things. Either that's the physical, material creation, that is the earth, that God made. And here's some verses that would teach us that. It's the world, the earth, that God made. Or it's going to refer to the human race, that is the population, humanity of the world. And notice a lot of these come from John's writings, by the way. The Gospel of John itself has this phrase, the world, like 51 times. So John talks a lot about the world. Or it is this system of the world. And we looked at that, and again, this is review. We're just going to fly through this. And let me back up here. We said the world, as John speaks of it, is defined as the way of thinking that and living that fails to acknowledge God as central. And we see that happening in real time in our society. God just seems to be being pushed further and further and further out of the thinking of our society. It's the world system of living without God. Many people think they can just make it through life, go through life without the Word of God, without the truth of God, without God Himself. They can just do it. It's a philosophy of life and a way of thinking. And really, it's an attitude of the heart. I thought that was a pretty good paragraph. That's not mine, that's someone else's. To talk about this system that is the world. And we'll bypass that for now. We noted last time that this world now, this system of thinking, the philosophy, the thought behind how to live without God, it has a ruler. And we see from these several verses here that the ruler of this world is none other than Satan himself, the wicked one, the god of this age, the prince of the power of the air. He has different names, but it's referring to Satan. He's the brains, as it were, behind the system of living without God. And remember, he's a deceiver. I mean, Chuck pointed that out going through Revelation. His main tactic is deception, and he certainly is deceiving many. This world system has characteristics. I know you can't read that fast, but here's the composite. And again, these are just taken from various verses here, and just notice many writers of the New Testament talk about this. There's a wisdom of the world that 1 Corinthians would tell us is foolish compared to God's wisdom. Paul says we've been delivered from this present evil age, or this present evil world, that is, in coming to Christ. This world brings man or keeps man in bondage. Galatians would teach us. It feeds the lusts and the pride of one's life, and so on and so forth. We went through this last time. But what we want to really think about tonight is what is the relationship of we as believers to this world? And again, we're thinking of this world system now. Well, what's our relationship to it, and how do we function in it? Well, the Lord Jesus himself said, We've been chosen out of this world. You remember he gathered his disciples together in the upper room one last time before he went to the cross. He taught them many things, and part of what he was teaching them is the truth about this world, the fact that he'll be leaving it and they'll be left in it. He says in John 15, 19, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And it's just interesting reading through John, especially John 15 and John 19, little prepositions, note them. We are not of this world, meaning it's not our source of life. Our source of life is God. We're born of God. And John is the one that teaches us that as well. So we've been chosen out of this world. And Colossians would say it this way. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So I don't know if you picture this, if you like to kind of think pictorially, just think about ourselves being in and part of this world. And then the Lord Jesus saves us. And we're taken, as it were, out of that world, the kingdom of this world, put into the kingdom of the Son of His love, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier, Galatians 1:4 says that was done that He may deliver us from this present evil age, from this system of thinking and philosophy and life without God. We now have God as our ruler, as our wisdom. And I don't know when all of you came to Christ. Many of you grew up in Christian homes and you heard these things from little on up. And as I've told you many, many times, I didn't. And so, you know, all this teaching and all this about the world, I mean, makes perfect sense to me because I was living without God in my life and I didn't know any different. And so thankfully the Lord protected me from much trouble I could have gotten into by His grace. But anyhow, I was just living whatever this world taught me, how to be happy, how to be successful. And if I had not gotten saved, I would have been on just a totally different path of life. I mean, I would have went after all the money you could go after. I mean, why not, if that's what life's all about? But He delivers us from that kind of thinking. And 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Makes all the difference. We get saved. God puts His Spirit within us. Whether you're a young person, whether you're the oldest person here, if you're a believer, the Spirit of God is in you and will teach you and will help you think the way you should think if you read the Word of God. So we've been chosen out of the world, Jesus said. What else is our relationship to the world? Well, Jesus also said, even though we've been chosen out of it, we're still in it. Meaning, we're still here. He hasn't taken us to glory. And the rapture hasn't happened yet. And we've not been taken out of the world physically. So we function in it. We work with the world. We go to school with the world. We live in neighborhoods that are in the world. So we're still in it. But we're not of it. Big difference, right? It's a big difference to be in it, to be among it, maybe we could think. But yet not be part of it is the idea. We're not of the world, Jesus said. Paul says our citizenship is not of this world. He doesn't say it exactly like that. He said our citizenship is in heaven. Citizenship is where we belong. We can say we're American citizens. We belong here. This is our home in terms of the world, the geographic world. This is our citizenship. We visit somewhere else. We are not of that country. Now, spiritually speaking, our citizenship is not of this world. It's in heaven. We belong in heaven. And that's where our thinking should be. Peter says it this way, we're strangers in the world. Aliens. Again, this isn't where we belong. And I don't know about you, but I'm places sometimes that that's very evident. I'm walking through whatever, a mall or whatever, and I feel like I don't belong here. I mean, you're just looking around. Perhaps you're hearing the music. Whatever it is, I want to get out of there. I don't belong here. Paul and Peter says again, we're viewed as strange by the world. John says the world doesn't know us. We don't belong to it. I mean, this is the way it ought to be anyhow. If we're not following the thinking of the world and the philosophies of the world and doing what the world is promoting, well, then the world really doesn't know us. And the world doesn't know the believer. An unbeliever doesn't know what makes us tick and how we think and why we do certain things and why we won't do certain things, why we spend Sunday morning coming to a church. Why would you do that? I mean, that seems absolutely foolish to people. But we understand. They don't know us. The Lord Jesus, and John writes again in his epistle, that we're hated by the world. We've overcome the world. So this is a relationship we have now. We're going to get into exhortations, and I want to put a couple verses up here in a bit. Well, let's put them up now. Here's some questions I want us to think about, and this is where we're going to get real practical here tonight, and I would appreciate some comments from the brothers. I want us to think about three questions before we look at four verses that have to do with the world. How will you, me, how will we evaluate in our lives what is of this world? And this will make a little more sense when you see the verses. Secondly, what things would you consider, what I consider, to be worldly influences that we face in our lives? And again, by worldly, this system of thought of the world, how are we affected by that? I mean, if we get nothing else out of this meeting tonight, I want it to be thought-provoking. I want us to go out of here thinking, am I affected by this world? And I want us to think through that as individuals as we leave here tonight. Then a third question before we look at these verses. What steps will we take to deal with the things of the world that the Spirit of God reveals are in our lives? Okay, so these three questions. How do we evaluate what is of the world? What things do we consider to be worldly influences? And what steps will we take to deal with the things of this world? Now, I had a slide up here earlier, so can you read that? All those words, brutal, murder, hatred, violence, brutality, wickedness, abuse, envy, greed, all kinds of stuff in there. And perhaps when we think of the world, maybe these are the kinds of things we think of. And we might say, well, you know, that really doesn't characterize my life. And hopefully it doesn't. But I believe we need to think beyond these kinds of wicked things to really evaluate if the world has any effect upon us. In other words, we tend to think of the very sinful things of this world. And then we might say, well, I'm not of the world, right? I don't do drugs. I'm not in immorality. I'm not in this. I'm not in that. All these kinds of words that are on this slide, I don't do that. I've not murdered anybody. I don't want to murder anybody. So on and so forth. And so we might stop there and say, well, the world doesn't really have an effect on me. But that's what I want us to think about. So as we consider these questions, here are four verses that we read in the New Testament. These are commands. They all have this phrase, the world. And by that phrase, the writers, James, Paul, and John, are referring to this system. It's not talking about the population of the world. It's not talking about the created earth. It's almost as if God expects us to know what this is. Because it's used so often. I said almost 200 times. Now, all those times aren't speaking of the system of the world. But it's almost as if God gives these these commands, these exhortations, as if, well, we know what the world is that he's talking about. But just to know what it is doesn't help us with these verses. Well, I shouldn't say doesn't help us, but it doesn't cause us to be obedient to these verses. So let's look at these four. Let's think about them. Do not be friends with the world, James says. He says, friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. In other words, we're at enmity with God, which isn't good, if we're a friend of the world. Well, what does it mean to be a friend of the world? That's what I want us to think about. James says that we're to be unspotted from the world. Unspotted. I work with pigments, colored pigments at work on a daily basis. And all I got to do is get the smallest little bit of pigment on my clothing, and that's it for that clothing. You can't get it out. It just smears. It's stained. And I often think about that when I think of this verse. How am I stained by the world? Well, we're not supposed to be. That's what the exhortation is. Don't be stained by the world, or be unspotted or unstained from the world. Romans 12:2, probably the most familiar of these four verses, where we are told there, do not be conformed to the world. What's it mean to be conformed? What's another way to say that? What's another phrase? Another way to describe being conformed? What does the word mean? Molded? Take the shape of. I often think of an ice cube tray, right? Whatever shape it might be, you put the water in there, you freeze it, that water has taken the shape of the mold. Now just try to translate that into spiritual life now. How am I being shaped into what this world thinks and how it operates? How am I influenced? Let's think about this tonight. And then John says in 1 John 2:15 to 17, do not love the world. Well, what's the difference between loving the world and being friends with the world? Okay, so here's our verses. So I'm just interested in some thoughts of the brothers. How do we put this into practice? I mean, if we don't think through what is of the world, I don't know how we can possibly be obedient to these verses, because we're not thinking through it in our lives. So any comments on any of these verses, or maybe the questions that I asked? Maybe starting off, like, what kinds of things are we talking about here with the world? And again, let's think beyond just the evil stuff and the absolute sinful stuff. What kind of things does the world push on us? Dean. Okay, all right, that's exactly what I want us to think through tonight. So I'll just say this for people who may be listening. What we hear, and Dean being in the military 4 years and hearing stuff he didn't want to hear, and I mean, I'm in that world too, and a number of you might be. Working in an environment, I mean, there's words that I just hear on a daily basis that I don't want to hear at all, but it's like normal talk. You know, and it's not that I'm using it myself, but it's almost like you get desensitized to it also. where that shouldn't be the case. And then these things coming up later in life. Okay, so very good. So what we hear, things that we hear. Now think about that. That's the world. What does the world want us to hear? What's the avenues that the world uses for us to hear what it wants to promote? What are some of those areas? Okay, radio or
music?
Okay, music, talk radio, right? Doesn't have to be music, talk radio. It can be addictive, right? If you like current events, if you like news, if you like to know what's going on and you like to hear, you know, even if you're listening to conservative talk radios, I mean, it can be addictive. And you want to just listen and listen and listen and, you know, what are we listening to? See, that in and of itself, you know, we may not think of as sinful, but we just have to evaluate it. You know, it's hard to put a list here and say, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that. We have to evaluate our world and determine what things we hear that we shouldn't hear and, you know, do something about it. So what we hear being music, now there's music, I don't know how much of it, but certainly there's songs even written by the world that may be amoral, so to speak. Probably not many of them these days, but I mean, there can be just good music that's amoral. It might be talking, I don't know, a love song or something. Years ago, I used to love to listen to John Denver. How many of you heard of John Denver? Oh, wow. Okay. Not as old as I thought. This is good. Anyhow, I mean, he played guitar. I always liked guitar. I liked his music. But you know, that guy was, I don't know if he was a, what's the word, like a pantheist? I mean, like this worship creation type thing. And that's really what came through in his music. I just liked the music. And, but that kind of stuff, right? It, like you'd say, well, that's not bad. But if I start to take on the thinking of what he's singing in a song that really is beautiful in its tune and melody, that can be a problem. Okay, talk shows, music, any other ways that the world, that we hear things in the world, or any other avenues. That's probably two of the biggest. Well, another one, Creston.
I was just
going to say that. Yeah, education. That maybe is the biggest. And can you imagine what is already taught, but what is going to be taught going forward in our schools? Can you even begin to think, given certain changes that are happening politically, can you imagine what kids are going to be taught? And that's the whole plan, right? To indoctrinate children. Well, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to detail it. I mean, that's a frightening thing. And certainly, we need to protect our children. We need to protect ourselves. But yes, educational system. It is a system of the world. It is a system of the evil one. And so that's an area of our lives we got to be very careful with. Okay, any other thoughts about the world? So Dean said what we hear. How else does the world, as we're understanding it here, this system of evil driven by the evil one, how else does that affect us in life? From what other ways?
Did that. And then also what you need to be able to smell it.
Okay, so the world uses our senses, targets our senses, and maybe two of the most is hearing and obviously seeing. So what are we looking at? What are we watching? One thing age does for you is you can think back, and you've seen a lot of things. So I think back when television shows that were what I would call innocent, just funny, right? I Love Lucy, and I don't know what other kinds of shows. Happy Days, what'd you say? Ozzie and Harriet. I mean, you know, some of these shows, I guess, go back into the 50s, early 60s. These shows were just funny, and they really didn't have evil themes to them. But the evil one has taken that way of speaking or affecting our senses, our sight, and even our hearing. I mean, look where we're at today. I don't know if there's anything hardly worth watching. Now, there's a variety more of channels these days and ways you can get just nature shows or whatever. Well, let's just say mainstream networks, primetime television. I mean, is there anything really worth watching? I mean, we can watch stuff like that, and swear words can go by us, and you know, scenes of sex and violence, and it's like we're desensitized to it. So that's an area, right? That's an avenue. Mitch? Some cartoons, I mean, they're very evil, or they're very violent. You know, you don't think about it watching a cartoon, but there it is a lot of violence. Okay, other areas, or maybe ways that the world tries to conform us, shape us to its mold. I mean, what about dress? I mean, is that a way? I mean, there's fashion. I mean, where does all that come from? Why is it such a big deal? Why do people latch on to the latest and greatest fashion? Is it appropriate? And again, I'm just asking the questions here. I'm not, you know, pointing out any particular details. I just want us to go away from here thinking about what my life is like, and what of these things are in my life? Are they appropriate? Are they not appropriate? Should I think about it? What I'm listening to, what I'm watching, what I'm wearing, so on and so forth. How is it shaping me? Now, what does it mean? Let's think about these first, the first one and the last one. Do not be friends with the world. And the last one, do not love the world. What does that mean? Are they different? Are they just two writers kind of saying the same thing? If we're friends with somebody, what does that mean? If we love something, what does that mean?
Almost feel like it's the amount of time you invest.
Okay, time. Okay, how about trust? Right, you develop a friendship with somebody, you begin to share things with them because you trust them, right? You begin to form a bond, and where you feel like you can talk to somebody, so you trust them. I guess I'm getting very, skeptical, but even worse than that. Like, I'm beginning not to trust anything I hear in this world. Anything that comes from our government, anything that comes from the thinking of this world, I don't trust it. Cynical, is that the word? Is that a bad word? That's not a good word. Maybe that's it, being cynical. Because I don't trust them. Well, is love a step beyond that then? Is that even something worse, something deeper? I think it is, isn't it? You know, I think of some friends I had growing up. I consider them friends, especially one particular young guy. We were the same age. We were neighbors. We were friends. We grew up together. We played together. I mean, we kind of went different ways, though. And this is before I even became a believer. I mean, he just started getting into stuff that, I mean, again, thankfully, and maybe it was what my parents taught me, but I didn't want to get into. So while he was a friend, and I would consider him a friend, I certainly didn't love the things he was loving. Like, I didn't want to do them. I didn't want to sell my soul to those things, so to speak. And he was just all, you know, give it to me. You know, whatever he's lusting after, that's what he went after. But what practical, how can we make that practical? Don't be friends with the world. Don't love the world. How can we apply that? Okay, so the church and what the church believes, what the church stands for, what the church will compromise, what the church will not compromise, a lot of that is affected by what's going on in the culture. That is so true in our country. What is going on in our culture is really infiltrating churches, which means it's infiltrating individuals within the church, dividing. It's dividing churches. It's dividing believers. But some of these things are clearly of the world, of that system of thinking. I think there's a thought in the church in terms of reaching out and evangelizing that is not biblical, and that is if we're going to reach the world, we got to be like the world. Right, we got to adopt some of its ways so they'll listen to us. That is the system of the world. I mean, can you imagine the Lord Jesus adopting the ways of the world so that he can talk to the world? We have absolutely no hint of that in the life of the Lord Jesus. And even the others. Peter kind of tried it, right? Wouldn't eat with the Jews, or wouldn't eat with the Gentiles when the Jews were around, and he thought that was okay, and Paul didn't think that was okay. Yeah.
I just would add another question, because I think this does come down to the razor's edge as far as what's acceptable and not acceptable. And taking the technology, using PowerPoint for your message, 150 years ago, that was not available. So, in a sense, there's some way in which we do
Don't ask me. And that's a difficult thing here, right? And I'll wrap this up. We're out of time. But that's the difficult thing, right? Where do we draw the line? Because it's obvious. And again, if you're older and you can go back a number of decades, it's simple to see the shift that has happened in our society. And it is bad. We have moved way toward wickedness and sin. I mean, it's blatant. I mean, what used to be recognized as sin wasn't pushed and promoted. It is today. It's wide open. People don't care. And it's not only that. Now it's being pushed on us to believe it, accept it. So that's the thing. Where do we draw the line? With what things do we draw the line? We have to draw the line. What that is, when that occurs in individual lives, as a church, they're difficult questions, but we all do face it. I mean, this is not new. This goes back to the first century. These verses were all written in the first century to individuals, to churches, to deal with this same thing. So it's not something new, but it's just that, you know, in our country, we have seen a tremendous shift over the decades now that has put us in a wicked place. So, well, we'll stop here. We could go on all night probably with this conversation. But again, the whole point of this phrase, the world, just intrigues me to think about. And so we should think about it. That's why these verses are in here. That's why these are commands, these four verses. Don't be friends with the world. Be unspotted from the world. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't love the world. They are verses that we are to take action about in our lives. It's not optional. You can't just blow them off and say, that doesn't apply to me. It applies to every one of us, because even though we're not of the world, we're in the world. We have to live in this world. We have to go to work. We have to go to school. We live in neighborhoods. We may be in families that are unbelieving, and whatever the case might be. So each one of us has to make decisions about the world. So as we go away tonight and into the next week, let's be thinking and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for our time together this evening. Thank you for these dear saints that have come out this evening. And Father, I trust that our time has been worthwhile, that we may think about these things. We pray for our dear young people that are here this evening. And as they grow up in this world, and they may not have years to look back and see the shift that society has taken. And so they see things perhaps through a different lens. But Lord, whether we can see years ago or whether we just see what's happening today, certainly we can read your word and see that where we are at today is certainly far from where you would have us to be. So, Father, we pray for ourselves as individuals. We pray for ourselves as families. The decisions, the questions that families have to face, and decisions concerning their children and some of the things in this world, should they be involved in them, should they not, how much time should be spent. These are important issues. Father, we pray for this local assembly. We think about the truth of the Word of God. We think about even what might come down the road, what we may be maybe forced or challenged to comply with. Lord, help us to be thinking through these things. May we be like-minded as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we certainly realize we need your help. We need your wisdom. We don't want the wisdom of the world. We don't want the counsel of the ungodly. We want the wisdom of believers. We want the wisdom of your word. So, Father, help us with these things. To when we read your word, to meditate upon it, to think about what it's teaching us. Help us, Lord, to live life being willing to put into practice the things we read and the things we hear in a preaching message like this, or perhaps we listen to. Lord, may we be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God, we pray. So we commit ourselves to you as we go into this world tomorrow, and we just pray for your help, your leading, your guidance. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen.